Our pleasure to have the company of the voice of the Cubs on television for a number of years now. I think going into season number 8, will it be already for you, Len Casper? Is that right?
Yeah, it is. And by the way, guys, congratulations on your 20th.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, I've enjoyed a lot of the interviews with, the Tom Shears and Mike Norths of the world. It's been really interesting.
Is that sincere, Len?
Yeah.
Okay.
Len's a sports radio guy. Len did a bunch of it in Milwaukee, and Len appreciates the form and the history of the form.
Well, and it really is kind of cool for us to do just for a few days to reflect on it, because it's been a unique example. It truly was something that you'll never experience again. I'll never experience again. To be a part of a startup and watch it with all of its limitations on a daytime signal 20 years ago and to see what it's become is quite remarkable. And to have been there when we laid the first bricks is kind of cool. And I'm glad that some people have enjoyed the stories we've told this week.
Well, you guys know this a little bit better than others, but there are a lot of people out there who may not know that I'm a radio guy at heart. I mean, I really didn't do any television until I started doing some fill-in games with Milwaukee in 1999. But, you know, I've done the Saturday afternoons on WTMJ before Packer camp with the Brewers 20 games under 500. And literally the only thing going on is Wimbledon. You don't really talk tennis on the radio. And you've got two calls per hour, and you're there by yourself sweating bullets. I know how difficult it is to do sports talk, even on a big station with a lot of resources. So I give you guys a lot of credit. And I would like to think that that all of that training really did help me get into baseball, because, as you guys know, there's a lot of downtime, and we like to feel the occasional rain delay. But everybody out there who thinks that it's easy what these guys do for 4 hours every day, it's not. Hey, it is not.
Those rain delays are going to be tougher to fill without Carlos Zambrano conversation.
Yeah, good segue, Matt. I'm wistful in some ways. I know that a lot of the stories and a lot of the things that will be talked about today and in the coming weeks about Zambrano's career in Chicago will focus on the blow up in Atlanta, the comment on the fans, the embarrassment that he mentioned last year that got the owner involved. But you try to step back, and it may take a few years, and it's almost like Sammy Sosa in a way. Maybe time is what we need to look back. I mean, he will go down as one of the best starting pitchers in Cubs history, but I think we're left with what could have been. He never did win 20 games. He did throw a no-hitter. He was a part of several playoff teams. I do think he's a smart guy. You know, I'm kind of where Dan is. I've always been entertained by Carlos. I know him really well, and that I think makes me kind of an expert on him, but also maybe I need to step back a little bit as well, because after all these blow-ups the next day or the week after or whenever he would come off the suspended list, I would see him and I'd say, "Hey, Z, how you doing?" He'd say, "Hey, Len." You know, I mean, I never had a bad moment with him. He never, ever once said to me, "Hey, I heard what you said about me." He seemed to be a good teammate. He was always in a good mood when I saw him, but he just did things to hurt the team when he was on the mound, and he had an anger problem and still does, and he'll probably have some more blow-ups with Ozzie and with the Marlins. Ozzie always kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt. It'll be interesting to see if he does now that he's pitching for him.
I think it's interesting for people to hear you say a good teammate when there were so many instances in which he was so selfish and was not, but they all, uniformly all of them, came on a day when he pitched and something got affected and he got angry and completely lost control of himself. That's when they came, Len.
Yeah, and you know what, Matt, I would add to it that when you look at, and as Dan said, it's my 8th year with the Cubs, I think about the guys who've been criticized the most in terms of Cub fans, talk show hosts, the like. The general template is guys who don't hustle, guys who act as if they don't care, those type of things. And I don't think we can ever say that Carlos fit that mold. And that's why, you know, when you talk about the blow-ups, it never was for lack of effort. Remember when Lou came here, Lou said, "I love it. I have no problem with the occasional blow-up. It's just, where do you draw that line?" And whereas in hockey and maybe even in football, emotions matter, and playing on an emotional high can make you better. I'm not so sure in baseball that that's the case, and I think in his case it was a detriment. But, I mean, are we going to miss his at-bats? Come on.
Yeah, no doubt.
Is he going to break a bat over his leg? Is he going to hit a home run? Is he going to strike out when he should be bunting a guy to third? I mean, there was nothing like him, and there'll never be anything like him. And I do hope he gets an ovation when he comes back to Wrigley Field. But, you know, who knows until that moment happens.
Cubs television voice Len Casper with us on the Home Run In Pizza Hotline. Try Chicago's number one selling frozen pizza today. I want to jog your memory. Zambrano in a training camp memory. Good example, I think, Len. I think you'll remember this.
Can I share a moment with you?
Pat Foley? Yeah, I share a moment with you that we shared a few years ago. I don't remember who the Cubs were scrimmaging, but you were broadcasting the game adjacent to the radio booth where Yurko and Harry and I were doing our show back to Chicago, and Zambrano hit a ball that bounced oddly off the left center field wall. I think he was hitting from the left side and tried to stretch a double to a triple. And as he was coming around second, he stumbled. You and I looked at each other and just started cracking up. And then you realize you don't know what happens if he'd blown out his Achilles. But that's a guy who, to a fault sometimes, just always gave it 100%. And I just remember that, and it makes me giggle.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that moment. I remember in Milwaukee, I believe he tried to jump and steal a home run away from one of his teammates in BP. You know, and Larry Rothschild's just covering his eyes. Like, what are you doing? that stuff happened on a daily basis. I mean, they got to the point where during BP, when he would shag in the outfield, he has a glove for both hands where, you know, he would throw left-handed. And he can throw left-handed. I don't know if he could pitch in the big leagues, but if he threw left-handed for you right now, you would say he is left-handed. I mean, he's ambidextrous. But it got to the point where they had to kind of almost strap his right arm down to his side so he wouldn't do anything to hurt himself. So you're right. I think, though, we're ultimately, as we kind of go around and around on what the Carlos Zambrano era was for the Cubs, won a lot of games, pitched a lot of innings, hit a lot of home runs, but ultimately we're left with he could have been a little better.
Yes, he could have, Len. And that, I end up thinking about the person, you know, and it's and you being as close to him as you were, you know, like I tend to judge people by how much they try to get to know themselves and work on themselves to be the best they can with their particular gifts or endeavors. That's really how I end up judging people, no matter what they are or what they're doing. And he didn't work as hard as he could have on himself to maximize his possibility.
Yeah, you know, that's fair. But, you know, I read the other day that Aubrey Huff, who was pretty much out of shape last year, had a very bad year after the Giants won the World Series. You know, they talked to him, and now he claims to be in the best shape of his life. We know about Pablo Sandoval.
Yep.
We, you know, there are a lot of examples around baseball of guys who, you know, maybe took it for granted. You know, there have been whispers about Adam Dunn, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, and Z's were just a little more visible in this, in the anger way, and a little more unique.
Yep.
Well,
maybe part of that, sorry to interrupt, maybe part of that is being a Cub, though. Maybe those things do tend to get magnified just a little bit more because of the team on which he pitched for, you know, 11 years.
It's shocking to me when you talk about the level of investment in a guy like Zambrano, 91.5 over 5 years, signed to that deal in August of 07, given what they had, that it took as long as it did to try to get him to go through some mental health procedures.
He didn't care.
Well, that doesn't matter. You know, as an organization, I think baseball, all sports, I think they're so far behind. If you're putting that type of Trump into a guy, you've got to have him take it seriously, and you've got to take it more seriously than expect a pitching coach who doesn't have a PhD in psychology or you know, something like that. You've got to put these people in the charge of those who are mental health professionals. It's remarkable to me you expect pitching coaches and managers to do the job.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of on the fence on this one, guys, because obviously you invest that kind of money in people and you have the responsibility as an organization. And believe me, I know the Cubs for years and years talked to him about these things, encouraged him to get help. But he's now 30 years old, and when he was 26 and 27, there is some responsibility that is placed on a player, especially after a guy signs a contract like that, says all the right things. And I'll tell you, if you're around him, and you guys did interview him that one day, he's a charmer. He really is.
Yes.
I don't think it's fake. I don't think it's fake. I think that all of the remorse and all, you know, the apologies after the fact, I think he meant them and felt them and believed them. And I think he thinks that that he is reformed every time it happens and he recovers from it. But the night in Atlanta was definitely the final straw. And as we kind of come full circle here, I'm not surprised that this trade is going to go down. And I think it's best for both sides that it happens that way. And you're right, Matt, about Chris Volstead. The peripheral numbers, this is a theme. If you look at pitchers and really position players Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer have brought in via trade and you know, minor league free agents, they're looking for the buy low, sell high theory. They think Chris Volstead can be better than his ERA has indicated. They've got him under control for a few more years. And you know what? If you get anything for Carlos in this trade and any sort of production from the guy you get from the Miami Marlins, I think he hit a home run here.
Yeah, and this it must be said that Tom Ricketts is now showing the kind of long-term ownership commitment here, dealing with this sunk cost of this salary in a realistic way that people have asked owners to do in this town for years. And, yep. And you know, and we'll see if it happens again with Soriano, and it very well may, but you have to give credit for a you know, a team that looks at it and says, we're better off without him. Let's get what we can. And if it means eating $15 million, so be it. A lot of people would love their owner to do that.
Yeah. The sunk cost phrase is something that we should definitely kind of define. And it's the idea of it's money already spent.
Yep.
It's the Carlos Zambrano money. It's the Alfonso Soriano money. It's really any money on the books that you're already guaranteed to pay. And the question is, do you want to pay that guy to be on your team or to be elsewhere? And in the case of Big Z, they've decided that they'd rather have him somewhere else and take a chance on a 25-year-old kid who's 6'8", and you know, hopefully can be a little better than his ERA has indicated.
Yeah, and with Sean Marshall gone, they were short at a guy who was 6'8". They were short at the lurch position.
Yes, they needed an ectomorph. Len, thank you for the visit. As always, quite enjoyable, man.
All right, Happy New Year, guys.
You too.
Thanks, Len.
Take care. Cubs television voice, Len Casper.